Having the right equipment is often the difference between success and failure. Have you ever tried to screw in a screw with a knife? Raise your hand if you've tried that once. Doesn't always work too well. If you have a surgeon working on you, you do not want him using the chainsaw. You want the right tools, the right equipment for the situation. I've noticed that professionals are pretty picky about their tools, their equipment. Whether it's a carpenter, a musician, or an athlete, you would not use inferior equipment. It's too dangerous, and life itself is dangerous. So please check out the sermon notes that have been prepared for you. Today we're going to look at essential equipment for life. In the introduction, first of all, we're going to be looking at the owner's manual for your life. And fortunately, God, your creator and owner, has not left you without any instructions. He has given you a book. It's called the Bible. The Bible is the owner's manual that you can consult when you need help. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 17. The scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God, and fit him fully for all branches of his work. So I wanted you to look at three reasons why you and I need the Bible. Reason number one, God gave us the Bible to help us to, in your notes, to know him. Yeah, to help us to know him. There is a lot of things that we can know about God from nature, that he's all powerful, he's creative. But look at 2 Timothy 6, verse 21. Some people have missed the most important thing in life. They do not know Christ. Most of what you can know about God, in fact, the only way you know most about God is because God has chosen to reveal himself through the Bible. So through the Bible, we know what God is like. Reason number two, God gave us the Bible to show us how to live. There's a book that's called Life's Little Instruction Book. The Bible, however, is God's big instruction book. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture is inspired by God, is useful for teaching the faith, correcting error, resetting the direction of a man's life, and training him in good living. And the difference between the big and the little instruction book is that life's little instruction book is man's opinions, but the Bible is God, what God says to make your life work. So I need the Bible to help me, first of all, to know God. Secondly, to show me how to live. And reason number three, I need the Bible is to give me spiritual strength. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 12. Whatever God says to us is full of what? Living power. What God says gives us spiritual strength. What God asks us to do, God always gives us the power to do it. Now, for most of us, you already knew that the Bible helps you to know God, shows you how to live, gives you strength. You know that. But still, you need to be taught how, and even encouraged to use the owner's manual. So today, I want to share with you four ways to use your owner's manual. In your notes, number one, the first way to use the Bible is to get knowledge. Now that's the first level. By Bible knowledge, I mean knowing what God has done in the past. At this level, you simply learn the stories of the Bible, the people of the Bible, the truths of the Bible, the facts and the events of the Bible. You learn the content and what the Bible is all about, but it's not the end. It's only the first step. Look at Hosea 4, verse 6. He writes, my people are destroyed from what? A lack of knowledge. Even though there is more Bibles today than ever before, they are everywhere. Marketplaces, bookstores, motels, hotels, hospitals. Last year, 500 million Bibles were printed in 1,800 different languages. The Bible outsells every other book. There never have been more Bibles available, but yet we are a biblically illiterate generation. Bible knowledge is at a seventh grade level. Are you as smart as a seventh grader? People just do not know what's in their Bible. If you do not open and read your Bible, you might as well never have one. Now, George Barna recently did a survey. He discovered that 62% of Americans thought that the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, it was in their Bibles. You may even think it's in your Bible, too, but it's not in the Bible. It was Ben Franklin who said that. God helps those who help themselves. In fact, it's not even biblical. See, God helps those who trust in Him, the Bible says, not in themselves. And a study revealed that people even think Sodom and Gomorrah were lovers. And that Jesus, He was baptized by Moses. And that the Gospels were written by Matthew, Mark, Luther, and John. Must have been a Lutheran group. We can laugh, but I wonder how much of the Bible you know. Hosea said, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. So what is the goal? In your notes, number one, I will know the Word of God. Your goal must be to know the Word of God. And how do you learn the Word of God? In your notes, by reading it. And if I were to ask you how many of you believe the Bible from cover to cover, most of you would probably raise your hand. If I were to ask you how many of you read the Bible from cover to cover, that may be a different story. I know Christian people who are more faithful to reading the sports page, to the comic page, and to the obituaries than they are to the Word of God. This book called the Bible, it will keep you from sin, or sin itself will keep you from the Bible. I discover that when I find somebody with a Bible that is physically falling apart because they're using it. If their Bibles are not falling apart, it's usually because they aren't. But that's the first level of by reading it. Bible knowledge is great, but it's not enough. I said it's the shallowest level. If all you get is knowledge, that is your head knowledge, in your notes, two things usually happen. Number one, with only head knowledge, you become full of pride, the Bible says. The Bible says knowledge puffs up and love builds up. And then number two, with Bible knowledge, it also increases responsibility. The Bible says what? That if you know to do good, and then you do not do it, then that is sin. See, the more you know, the more responsible you have to be for things. So that it's good to have knowledge of the Bible. But you must go to deeper levels. So let's go number two, the second way to use the owner's manual, the Bible, is to gain perspective. Now this is the second level. Perspective is seeing life from God's point of view. In knowledge, you know what God did in the past. In perspective, you know why He did it. You know the reasons, the relationships between things. You get the big picture. See, would you agree that God has a bigger perspective on your life than you do? Sure, God does. Look at Proverbs 14, verse 12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. If you do not get God's perspective in your life, then I can sum up your entire life with one word, frustrations. You end up asking questions like, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to other people? What's the purpose of this? What's the meaning of life? See, the answer to all these types of questions is found in gaining perspective. And the good news, God wants to share His perspective with you. It's kind of like you driving up in the mountains. You're going around those twisty curves that you think, if I could just see around these corners, I could pass the slow car. Let's say a helicopter flies by, radios down. I can see 2 miles ahead. It's okay for you to pass. You can go around the corner. That is perspective. And God has a bigger perspective on your life. And God wants to share it with you. So the goal of perspective on the back of your notes, that I will understand the mind of God. The goal of knowledge is to know the Word. The goal of perspective is to understand the mind of God. You learn to think like God thinks. You learn to see why He does what He does. See, in the Psalms, the Bible says that the people of Israel, they knew. They knew the acts of God. But with Moses, God shared His ways. The people of Israel saw the deeds, the Red Sea open, the manna, the miracles of water. They saw the acts of God. But it says God made known His ways to Moses. See, Moses gained God's perspective. If you get knowledge by reading the Bible, then how do you gain some perspective? In your notes, you get perspective by studying the Bible. And how do you study the Bible? What's the difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible? In your notes, I believe the secret of Bible study is writing things down. In studying, you use a pencil or a pen. And if you have never written anything down, you probably haven't studied. You've only read it. Bible studies teach you God's perspective, helps you understand the mind of God. So you join a Bible class. Use the Bible to get knowledge. Number two, to gain perspective. Number three, the third way to use the Bible is to develop conviction. And convictions are the beliefs that will shape your behavior. A conviction is something that you believe so strongly that it determines the way you act. This is not the same as opinions. Opinions are something, yeah, you argue about and something you will discuss. But a conviction is something you will die for. And the people who have made the greatest changes in this world were not always the smartest, nor the most intelligent, nor the wealthiest. The people who have made the greatest impact in this world for good were those with the deepest convictions. It is said that if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. And we live in an age where society says every value is up for grabs and that there are no permanent values. Can you really know what's right and wrong? Is it possible to know good from evil? Well, look at Deuteronomy 5, verse 29, where God desires, "Oh, that they would always have such a heart for me, wanting to obey my commandments, then all would go well with them in the future." So the goal in your notes is that I will share the values of God. So first you know the Word. Second, you understand that Word. Third, you believe the Word with all your heart. And that's conviction. How do you develop a heart? How do you develop your convictions? In your notes, it's by meditating. For some of you, meditating, it's kind of a scary word. Meditation is simply, it simply means thinking about something over and over. If you know how to worry, and you all do, then you already know how to meditate. When you take the negative side, and you're thinking about it over and over in your mind, that's called worry. You been there? But you take a verse of the Scriptures, and you think about that verse over and over in your mind. That's called meditating on God's Word. It's when you meditate on God's Word that you begin to get the heart of God. You start to feel and to think the way God feels and thinks. The number four in your notes, the fourth way to use your Bible, the owner's manual, is to sharpen your skills. Now, this is the fourth level. There are just certain skills that you need to do in life if you're going to be successful. So if you're going to be successful, you have to know how to get along with other people. If you're going to be successful, you have to know how to manage your time and your money. If you want to get along with people, you have to make wise decisions. These are just skills in life. These are skills that you need, and you'll find them where? In the Bible. The Bible is an intensely practical book. It tells us not only what to do, but it tells us how to do it. So look at James 1, verse 22. James says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." The goal in your notes is that I will do the will of God. And notice that there is a verb, an action word, because God wants us to be doers of the word. The problem for most of us is we already know more than we're doing. One member leaving his church asked the pastor, "Is the sermon over?" The pastor said, "We'll see." So how do you sharpen your skills? In your notes, you sharpen your skills by practicing. Look at Matthew 7, verse 24 and 26. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them," what? "Into practice. It's like a wise man who built his house on rock. But everyone who hears and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand." See, putting it into practice, that's the fourth level in using your owner's manual, the Bible. Practice helps you to sharpen your skills, but it's pretty hard. It's a whole lot easier to listen to the word than it is to practice and practice and practice. So in your notes, the Bible was given. The Bible was given to change our lives. It was not just to give us knowledge. We use the Bible also to gain perspective, to develop convictions, to sharpen our skills. And the bottom line is that we are being changed and we are becoming more and more like Jesus. Now, if you're the average American, by the time you're 65, you will amass 9.5 years of television viewing. If I were to ask, how many of you really believe everything you watch on television? Or do you believe everything you read in the newspaper? Or everything you hear on the radio? You'll probably say no. But how many of you believe everything that's in God's Word, the Bible, your owner's manual? You'll probably say you do. Then I invite you to practice and practice. In conclusion, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to God's Word today. Number one is I will read through the New Testament in the next 90 days. In your bulletins, I've provided an insert to help you check off your completed reading assignments from January 13 through April 11. And then number two, that I will join a Bible study to learn more about God's will for my life. If this book really is God's owner manual for your life, in order to make your life easier, can you not spend 1 hour each week in a Bible class or 20 minutes reading the owner's manual? See, be doers of the word. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.